You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This is Laura Brown filling in for Richard McCall on Columbia Calling. Today, in episode 155, we're going to be talking to Chantelle Duplessis about bird watching in Columbia. So Chantelle's going to tell us all about the different types of birds that you get here and give us lots of other information that will be really interesting for anyone who's thinking of traveling to Columbia, or even people who live here, or people who are just interested in birds and bird watching, tourism in Columbia, and that sort of thing in general. So as I said, my name is Laura Brown and I'm filling in for Richard. Richard is away this week. He's going to tell us all about what he's been doing in the next week. He's catching up on a lot of other things. He's doing a little bit of traveling, and he's also going to fill us in on the peace process that's been taking place in Colombia. As many of our listeners probably know, if you follow international news at all, then you'd have heard the really great news that's been happening in Colombia in the past couple of weeks. And that is that the Colombian government reached an agreement with the FARC to end the war that has been going on in the country for over 50 years. So that's really huge, and it's a really exciting time to be in Colombia. So, and one of the things that I just need to point out is that here, you know, we're talking to you from Bogota, and in the big cities like Bogota, Medellin, Cartagena, in the major cities, and in also in the major tourism destinations, we haven't really been affected by the war. You know, it's not something that we see on a day-to-day basis. It's not something that we see that's happening, but we know that it is there. Most of the fighting has been going on in much more remote areas. Some years ago, like let's say probably about 15, 20 years ago, there was a lot of violence, and there was, you know, it was a big threat, and people were told that you have to be careful traveling to Colombia, but that's not really the case anymore. You know, Colombia has been growing as a tourist destination. It's been becoming very popular. So this is an amazing time to be here for anyone who's interested in South America, in Latin America in general, but more specifically, like I said, in Colombia. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about today with Chantelle, who's going to tell us about, you know, tourism and the places that you can visit. And also in the next, you know, in the coming couple of weeks, I'm sure that Richard will have a lot to tell us about that sort of thing as well. I'm sure he'll give us a lot more information about the peace process, about what's been happening. There is a ceasefire in place, which has been in place for a few weeks now. And the government is preparing to do a referendum. So there's going to be a referendum on October the 2nd where the Colombian people will be asked to vote whether they agree with the terms of the agreement that has been reached between the different parties that are involved with this whole process. And from there, they'll be able to move forward with the, with a more detailed plan and a more detailed idea. So there's still a lot to do. But it is, as I said, it's an exciting time to be here. It's a really amazing time for Colombia. Colombia is growing, the economy is good, the tourism is growing, and so there's lots of things that we're going to talk about now. And so one of the things that Chantelle's going to tell us more about is Colombia is one of the countries that has among the most bird species in the world. And Bogota is apparently the capital city with the most bird species. So you see lots of, you don't need to go very far out of the city to go bird watching. And, you know, you can go for a little trek through the cloud forest and see lots of different species and, catch some fresh air and have a break. So Let's take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll be talking to Chantal, and she'll tell us all about birding and bird watching in Colombia. We're back, and this is Colombia Calling, episode 155, coming to you from Bogota. I'm Laura Brown, and I'm filling in for Rich McCall today, and we're speaking to Chantal Duplessis about birds and birding in Colombia. Chantal's originally from South Africa and moved to Colombia after studying in the United States. And Chantal has a company called Angry Eco Tours, which she runs with her husband. And I was fortunate enough to go on a tour with these Eco Tours. We went bird watching in the cloud forest. Now, for me, that was the first time going bird watching. And it was something that I had never really thought that I would do, and I didn't really think that it would be a lot of fun. But it actually makes a lot of sense, because I'm originally from South Africa, and in Southern Africa, you know, we do a lot of wildlife tours. We go out, and obviously we're looking for a different type of animal. You know, we'll see elephants, and lions, if you're really lucky, maybe hippopotamus and things like that. But whenever we went out, there was always someone in the group who was interested in birds. Like, for example, in my case, it was my brother. My brother would always point out birds. And my brother and his wife are quite into bird watching, which I found quite strange, because for me, that was something that older people do. But it's growing in popularity. And I think it's something that a lot of younger people are also taking up these days. And especially in Colombia, because Colombia has so many species of birds. Colombia is actually one of the most diverse countries in the world, and that's reflected in the bird species that you can see here. So, hi Chantal, welcome. Thanks for joining us today on Colombia Calling.
Hi Laura, thanks for having me on the call today. I'm a really big fan of the show, and I often recommend it to a lot of my visitors, so I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, that's really great. That's really cool. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about some of the tours that you do?
So we started about 4 years ago. We do a lot of hiking, ecotours throughout the region. Mostly hiking, but we do partner a lot with local communities. So we have coffee tours. We also have horseback riding. And one of the newer, bigger, up-and-coming tours that we're starting to offer is birdwatching. So, super excited to be here today to talk to you about birds.
That's really cool, because I know people from all over the, like, from pretty much all over the world who have been to Colombia to go birdwatching. I know that there was my friend's father from the UK who came out here a few years ago, and a couple of years ago I had some friends from South Africa who've been here and who had a really great time and who like really recommended it. So tell us a little bit more about your bird watching tours that you do here.
Well, I just wanted to rewind a little bit, because it was really interesting what you had to say about coming from South Africa and how that related to you and birds. Because for me, bird watching was kind of a new thing that I discovered and got into when I moved to Colombia. Because coming from South Africa, it was difficult for me to adjust to a country that I couldn't see lions and leopards and elephants. Anytime I went to a national park, the only thing that I could find was birds. And so, whereas in South Africa, to be honest, we used to make fun of a lot of the bird watchers, because when we went to the parks and saw somebody looking at something with binoculars, we used to get really excited thinking it was a cat and get really disappointed and upset when we found out that they were looking at birds.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I know exactly what you mean.
But like, now I'm one of them, so now I...
So how did you turn into a bird nerd? Is that the correct term? Can I call you a bird nerd?
I call myself a bird nerd. So
okay, but I shouldn't call other people bird nerds.
Actually, my husband calls me a bird nerd, and he's the one that really pushed me into it, so I tell him it's his fault.
That's really great. That's cool. So tell us about some of the bird watching tours that you offer.
So we offer different tours that cover different ecosystems. We do day trips to the Páramo. So starting really early, going out to the Páramo, which has a lot of endemic species for the region.
So sorry, can I just stop you there? because not everybody listening would really know what the Paramo is. And I know that most people living in Bogota know, but why don't you just explain to us quickly what the Paramo is?
So the Paramo is a very unique system, unique to the Andes Mountains. Colombia has over 50% of the world's paramos. And that is actually where most of Colombia, 70% of Colombia gets their water from, is from the paramos. It's an ecosystem that looks very desertic. It looks very dry from far away. But when you get up close, it's actually a very moist, wet ecosystem. And so the ground acts like a sponge that soaks up all the water. So during the dry, even during the dry season, it has a lot of moisture. And the Paramo, from far away, it looks like everything is very similar and everything looks the same. But the closer up you get, that's where you really start to discover the magic, very, very detailed ecosystem. And a lot of both flora and fauna that is found in the Paramo is endemic to Colombia.
Oh, that's cool. So is a paramo what we would call a moor in English, or is it not really? It's a sort of like a water table, is it?
I always translate it into water factory. So
water factory.
It's a place where water is born, not necessarily because it rains that much, though it does rain, but because you're sitting up in the clouds. A lot of times the clouds come in and out, and sometimes you can't even see a meter in front of you because there's just so much moisture up in the top. It also has very extreme temperatures, so within one day you could go from 0 degrees to 30 degrees Celsius. And the temperatures, and the not just the temperature, but also the wind and the rain, the weather can change within five to 10 minutes. So it's a very harsh ecosystem to be living in as well, which is why not that many people are living up in the Paramos. Most of them live right below the Paramos. And those that do live up in the Paramos, there's very little that they can grow and very few options that they have for survival.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. And so while we're talking about the Paramos, that's where Bogota gets most of its water supply, is that correct?
Yes, most of the water supply for Bogota comes from both the Paramo of Chingaza. So a lot of the northern part of the city is fed by Chingaza, and in the south by Sumapaz Paramo, which is actually the largest Paramo ecosystem in the world.
And so what types of bird species do you find around the Paramos?
So the Paramos have a lot of different species, specifically endemic and near endemic species, such as the Bogota rail, the green-bearded helmetcrest, the Apollinar's wren, and the bronze-tailed thornbill, but also a lot of aquatic species that you can find in the high Andean lagoons, such as Andean teal, ruddy duck, American coot, yellow legs, and noble snipe.
That's really interesting. And so which one of those would you say is the most kind of unusual bird that someone who is not from Colombia would probably, I've never seen before and would go, wow, look at that bird.
One of my favorites, I would have to say, is probably the green-bearded helmetcrest, which is a species of hummingbird that is extra fluffy. It has a beard in the eastern Andes. That is the one that we find in the eastern Andes, has a green beard. In the central Andes, you're going to find a very similar species, but that has a purple beard. And then in Santa Marta, you'll find an endemic species there that has a blue beard. So here you're going to find the green-bearded helmetcrest.
So talking about endemic species, is that why Colombia has become such a popular destination for birding, because there are so many endemic species here?
I think Colombia is becoming quite a popular birding destination because in the past couple of years, it has overtaken other locations for its number of species more than just the endemic. So Colombia's biggest selling point right now is the fact that it has the most species of birds in the world. It has close to 20% of the species of birds in the entire world. So it's quite a big number.
That is amazing. That's really amazing. And so what are people who come from outside, what are they really looking for? What is the kind of birding tools are they looking for?
I think what a lot of people have been coming for up until now is kind of an overall look at what Colombia has to offer. So a lot of people coming for two weeks, sometimes even up to a whole month, trying to cover most of the regions that Colombia has to offer.
Wow, that's really quite incredible. And what sort of tours do people ask you for? Like, what do you offer, and what kind of things are people interested in? What are they looking for?
So let me talk a little bit about some of the regions. So when people come here, there's five different regions that they're specifically focused on. Colombia has the Caribbean and both the Caribbean and Pacific Oceans. And so those are very
quite unusual as well, isn't it?
It's not very common. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any, maybe Panama, but not a lot of countries that have access to those two oceans. So on the Pacific side, like for instance, Chocó is probably one of the most biodiverse places in Colombia. It has close to 650 species.
Wow.
It's also one of the least explored places in Colombia. A lot of tourists that come, when they go to the Pacific coast, which is still a new destination, they're going to see whales, not necessarily birds, but birders are actually exploring some of the places that regular tourists aren't going to be going to. Then you have the Caribbean, which for Colombia, Santa Marta is probably one of the bigger bird watching areas in the country. That's where you can find the world's highest coastal range, which goes up to 5,700 meters. So wow. I think Santa Marta has 27% of Colombia's endemic species. And a big part of that has to do with the fact that it goes from sea level to 5,700 meters. So within that, you have a lot of different ecosystems and a lot of variety.
That is incredible.
Then you have the Andean ecosystem, which is where we are here in Bogota. In the Andes, you have close to 900 species, and that's where you find the páramos, which is something that's very unique to the Andes and specifically to Colombia. Then you also have the llanos, which are the plains that you find between the Andes and the Amazon. Close to 470 species, but although it doesn't have as many species listed as other areas, in the llanos is probably one of the easiest places to actually see birds. So in one day, you can easily see over 100 species. There's quite an abundance, especially of aquatic species.
Over 100 species, that is amazing.
Yeah, the Llanos is also, it's an incredible place because if you go to the Pantanal in Brazil, which is one of the top listed places to see animals like jaguars, giant anteaters, giant otters, exactly the same animals are found here in Colombia. It's just not, it hasn't been developed yet for tourism. So there's really a huge potential in the Llanos for tourism.
That's interesting. And is it the same kind of ecosystem? It's the same?
It's almost identical. I was in the Pantanal a couple of years ago for the World Cup. And after seeing the Llanos in Colombia, it's almost identical. The types of animals that you find are the same species of birds. It's just that in Brazil, it's been protected for so long that it's not, the animals are there. They're in abundance. They're not as afraid of people. Whereas in Colombia, everything it's relatively new. They have a history of being hunted. And so you're not going to find them as easily as you would over there. But I think that's going to change very fast because in the Llanos, there's a lot of programs and governmental support for people that have really huge haciendas and farms to convert into having reserves. And so there's been a lot of new reserves coming up in the Llanos recently. And I think that in the coming years, the animals are not going to be as scarce anymore.
That's interesting. So the Colombian government is thinking more about preservation.
I think in the Llanos, it's a lot more local government than Colombian government.
Okay.
I can speak specifically for Casanare, which I've spent a lot of time in recently.
Yeah, that's right, because you were recently there for, what was it? It was the Colombian Birding Association's annual gathering. Is that right? What was that?
That's the Encuentro Nacional de Ornitología, which is like the ornithologist gathering for Colombia, which is an annual event. This year was the 29th event. Next year will be the 30th. And the basic premise of that is trying to get ornithologists and birding enthusiasts together in one place. And usually they look for places that are not that touristic and maybe that a lot of bird watchers haven't been to yet. So this year they had it in Yopal, and next year they're going to be having it in Mokoa, which is going to be a big event for their 30th anniversary.
That's really great. I'd love to hear more about the type of birds that you can find in your pod. And also, when we come back from the break, it would be really great if you could tell us a little bit more about how Colombia in general is growing as a tourist destination. And that obviously, you know, birding and bird tourism is a huge part of that. But also how the end of the war impacts on that. Because there are a lot of regions that have been considered as no-go zones for a very long time. So now that Colombia has declared peace, there are going to be a lot of new areas that are opening up, which is also very interesting for tourism. So let's take a short break. We're talking to Chantal Duplessis from Andes Eco Tours, and she's got lots more interesting facts about birding in Colombia to share with us. And also some tips for anyone who's just starting out as a bird watcher or who's maybe thinking about getting into bird watching. She's going to tell us, like, you know, where you can start, what are the best places to visit in Colombia, and some of the types of species that you can see around here. So let's take a break and stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be back with you in a few minutes. This is Laura Brown with episode 155 of Colombia Calling, filling in for Richard McCall. We're back on Colombia Calling with episode 155. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Chantal Duplessis from Andes Eco Tours. She's been telling us about some of the amazing bird species that can be found here in Colombia. And just before we took the break, she was telling us about a recent trip she took to Yopal in Los Llanos for the Encuentro Nacional de Ornitología, which is the national get-together for ornithologists in Colombia. Is that right, Chantal?
Yes, that's right. It's a pretty intensive four-day trip that we do excursions every day, leaving really early, usually around 4:35 in the morning, to visit different sites around Yopal and to get to see usually different, not just in Yopal, but different cities around Colombia that are maybe not as well known for birdwatching, but that are up and coming.
That's really great. So can you tell us a little bit more about some of the species that you saw there in Yopal? Like maybe if you could pick one favorite, what would you say was the highlight of your trip there?
So I think for the Llanos in general, aquatic species are kind of like the main feature. The thing with aquatic species is that you're not just seeing one or two individuals, but you're seeing dozens or sometimes even hundreds or thousands of the same species. So some of the places that we went to are really known for the scarlet ibis, which is a bird that really stands out for its color. There's a lot of herons, egrets, and another one which was one of my favorites was the horned screamer, which is a bird that tends to make a really loud screaming noise while it stands in a very prominent position. A lot of parrots and macaws, birds of prey, but I think that my favorite would have to be the burrowing owl. Maybe because it sticks around for a little bit so you can get a good look at it. It's very territorial, so the burrowing owls live on the ground in the middle of the plains, and you often see them from the car window just driving by. They make holes in the ground, and that's where they live, so the adults will often be at the entrance to their nest guarding it even during the day. So you can get really close to them, and one of them might fly away and try to distract you while the other one just stands there. But they usually don't really leave their position at the entrance, so they're pretty solid where they are, and they allow you to get a good look at them, and sometimes they pull really funny facial expressions.
Funny facial expressions. That must be really cool to see. Must also make good pictures. I know you're a photographer, so that's also really nice for taking pictures.
Yeah, usually I end up with about 100 photos of a burrowing owl. Just
that's cool. That's nice. And so burrowing owls, are they nocturnal like other owls, or do you see them during the day?
I think it's probably one of the easiest species to see. All of the time that I've seen them, it's been during the day. So most of the time they're outside guarding the nest. during daylight hours, and that's how it's so easy to see them.
Okay, that's nice. But, you know, for me, whenever I think about birds in a tropical country, like if I think about birds in, say, for example, Colombia or Brazil, Ecuador, even Costa Rica. Costa Rica is another country that's, you know, like quite well known for its bird watching. I always think about these really colorful species, you know, like some of the macaws and parrots, the toucans, things like that. Which of those do we find in Colombia?
So Colombia definitely has macaws and parrots and toucans. A lot of those are found in the Llanos and also in the Amazon. But one of the most colorful species that you're going to find here are the tanagers, which can be found in the cloud forests surrounding Bogota. Toucanets you will find also close to Bogota. There's the emerald toucanet, which is a species of toucan that is mostly green, but it's still very beautiful. And then in the Llanos, you're going to see some of the bigger toucan species as well as in the Amazon.
It's really interesting that you mention all those places because tourism is really opening up in Colombia these days. And one of the things that we were talking about before the break is that Colombia has been going through this long war that has been going on for over 50 years. And the government has recently reached an agreement with the FARC. But it's not only now that Colombia has become more of a popular tourism destination. I'd say that really over the past maybe 10 years or so, Colombia has been growing as a destination, you know, for people from outside to come and visit. And I guess there are a lot of areas that have been previously, you know, that weren't very explored, but that people are going to now. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the areas where you'll be running tours now and in the future?
Okay, so before I get to answering your question, let me talk a little bit about how I've seen tourism change here in Colombia since I first started coming 10 years ago. The first time I came, this trip was very stuck in my memory because I actually only ran into one foreign tourist the entire time I was in Colombia. I went through Cartagena, Santa Marta, Santander, and Bogota, and that was in Cartagena, and it was a single Asian American traveler who was by himself, because he said that his friends were too scared to come to the country. So that was my first impression. The more that I came, I think the next time was maybe 2 years later. Every time I started to see more visitors. And then since I permanently moved here about 5 years ago, it was still quite an incredible change. I first opened up a guest house in La Candelaria. And when I started, there was only one other company doing tours in Bogota, and that was bike tours. So when we started with nature tours, it was something very new. There was nobody else really offering that, and there were very few people doing tours of any kind in general in Bogota. So it's just really incredible to see the changes.
I know there have been a lot of changes. Like, you can really see the changes over the past few years. It's becoming so popular. Everywhere you go nowadays, you find tourists from outside coming to Colombia, and it's kind of one of the talked about destinations as well.
Yeah, it's quite incredible because you see a lot of foreigners in the street, not only in the historic district, but everywhere in the city. And actually, from 2014 to 2015, foreign visitors increased about 12% in 1 year. And that seems to be the trend because the year before that, it was very similar. Whereas a lot of destinations around the world, like Paris and New York, are not really increasing in tourism numbers because they've kind of reached their peak point. Colombia is still growing a lot, and particularly the Bogota region, because people usually used to come to Bogota for like 2 days, and now a lot of people are starting to come and make this their main destination, sometimes even just for a weekend or for 1 week.
Yeah, it's true. I think in the past, traditionally, a lot of people have just completely skipped Bogota in their trip to Colombia, like maybe hit the beaches or even the Zona Cafetera or something like that. But you do hear a lot more people come in and actually spending time in Bogota these days.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about places that haven't traditionally been safe to travel around Colombia, some of those places are closer than we'd like to imagine, because as recent as the 90s and early 2000s, Bogota was considered unsafe, or the surrounding area was considered unsafe, so people didn't really leave the city, which is the biggest city in Colombia, the capital city where everybody now is coming through. In the 90s, Colombians weren't really leaving, so I think that has a lot to do with the growth of tourism in the region. A lot of people in Bogota and from Bogota don't
even know a lot of the destinations around the city because they never used to be able to get out.
That's true.
So people are starting to now explore more, and it's mostly the younger generations, with some of the older generations still having a very negative image of Bogota, and specifically certain roads outside of Bogota, because that's how they grew up and that's all they've ever known. So they thought those roads were dangerous, and now that's kind of a stigma in their mind. So I think that's been changing a lot, and there are a lot of other regions that I think are very random that people haven't been traveling to in general. And specifically, if we go back to birdwatching, birdwatchers are often a little bit ahead of the tourism game because they're going to a lot of places that still haven't been developed yet for tourism. Places like Valpés.
And where's Valpés?
Valpés is on the other side of the Llanos. So you have Casanare, and on the other side of the river, you get into Valpés. And I actually met a group of people from that area at the meeting in Yopal, and they're really working on getting people out there for birdwatching.
That's really great. And so is the tourism industry quite developed around there, or is it something that's still quite up and coming?
I think it's definitely something that is up and coming. There's really, especially for mainstream tourism, there's really nothing out there. Mm-hmm. It's quite in the middle of nowhere, and it wasn't really, or it hasn't traditionally been a place that's on the tourism map.
Okay, so there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people coming from countries that are doing birdwatching in places in the middle of nowhere in Colombia, which other people still haven't really gotten close to experiencing yet. So I think birdwatching has the potential to kind of draw a lot of attention to some of these places in the middle of the plains and in the middle of the Amazon, and places that people wouldn't have really thought about visiting before.
Wow. So, I mean, you know, this is really an exciting time to be in Colombia, because it feels like everything is changing. It feels like the country is growing, you know, it's becoming more popular. And it also sends out a really good message about Colombia in general, you know.
Yeah, you know, we haven't really been speaking much about we've been speaking a lot about specific areas in Colombia, but we haven't really touched that much on Colombia in general. And Colombia is actually listed as one of the 17 mega diverse countries in the world. And what that really means is the mega diverse countries basically cover 70% of the world's biodiversity, whereas they're only making up 10% of the world's territory. So when you think about it, they're really, really diverse areas. And Colombia is actually listed as the second most biodiverse next to Brazil, which happens to be 10 times the size of Colombia. So when you break that into diversity per square meter, Colombia actually comes out on top as being the most diverse country in the world per square meter. Colombia hosts close to 10% of the world's biodiversity. It's actually first in birds. As we mentioned before, it has over 1,900 bird species.
Wow.
Which make up about 20% of the species in the world. It's also first in orchids, in mosses, and in palm trees.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And don't you find the tallest palm trees in the world here in Colombia? Is that right?
Yeah, here in Colombia, they have the wax palms, which is actually the national tree of Colombia. And you find most of them, the majority of them, in the central Andes, in the coffee region. There's a valley called Valle de Cocora, which you can hike through or horseback ride through. And it's just filled with these palm trees that reach up to 80 meters high.
That's wow. I've seen them. They're amazing. They're like super tall. Is that what they're called? They're called the Cocora palm?
They're called the wax palm.
Oh, wax palm.
And they're
okay.
Also the native habitat of an endemic parrot species. And so they're really, really important for bird conservation as well, and for the conservation of bird species, because they make holes in the trunks of these palms, and that's where they have their nests. The Valley of the Palms really makes up quite a unique ecosystem here in Colombia, which Colombia actually has about 85 general ecosystems, and within that, another 8,000 specific ecosystems.
So the country's, that it's very diverse. It's like a mega diverse country, as you said earlier.
Yeah, and this really relates to tourism, because within those ecosystems, 1 in 4 is actually listed as being in critical danger. So for me, the way that I see tourism here is that a lot of people in Colombia have just always grown up, especially in the rural areas, being inside the forests or around forests and always surrounded by nature. So for them, it's like birds are always there, trees are always there. And you cut one down, you cut 10 down, it doesn't really matter because there's hundreds more. which if you look at it from the outside, isn't really what's happening. You cut these things down and they're starting to disappear. And so with 1 in 4 being listed in critical danger, it means a quarter of Colombia's ecosystems are on their way to becoming extinct. So I really see tourism as a strong incentive for rural communities to try and maintain that and to participate in conservation. And even for rural communities, there's a new trend for people from the rural areas to move towards the cities, which is why Bogota has become so populated in the past few decades. And a lot of people from the rural areas are moving to the cities for opportunities or for what they think are opportunities.
Yeah, that's right. And there aren't necessarily really always that many opportunities in the cities, whereas there might be more opportunities actually in their areas where they're from. And I think that's one of the things that you do, because you also have an NGO, don't you? So like working together with Andes EcoTours, you have an NGO where you also work with the local communities and you train them and give them different opportunities such as education and different things like that. Is that right?
Yes, I also serve as director of Interchange Colombia, which is an NGO that we started shortly after beginning with the tours. And yes, it's a great way to partner with the communities to help them economically, but we found that there was a need to go a little bit deeper, particularly working with the youth, because they are the future. And there's a lot of youth, like I mentioned before, that are moving to the cities for opportunities, which they believe are there, but then when they get there, they aren't really there. So a lot of youth are moving to the south side to try to find work in restaurants or shops, and then it doesn't work out. So a lot of them that I've personally met are just sitting there in limbo because they don't have anything to do. They don't know what to do when they graduate, and then they have a little bit more education than the people right. that came before them,
yeah.
but they don't have the skill set. So a lot of what we do with the NGO is to work directly with the youth of varying ages, a lot between 4 and 18, around different themes relating to environmental education. We also do English classes, so language training.
And you also train, you work with local tour guides, so do you train them as well, don't you?
Yes, a lot of the guides we have are locals from the communities. Very few of us are actually from Bogota. It's mostly community partners. So we always have a bilingual guide that will go with the tourists. But then when they get there, the most important part and what the tourists enjoy most is hearing from the community themselves, even if they have a translator. So when we do the waterfall treks through the cloud forest, there's a lot of local information there that comes from community guides that you wouldn't really get from anybody else, because they're telling you about medicinal plants in the forest and what they use them for, tasting things from the floor. It's something that you wouldn't get from somebody coming from Bogota or even from another country.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So for them, it's just information that they know, knowledge that has been passed down from generation to generation and would otherwise be lost. So also when we do the coffee tours, we work with an association of 10 different families. And when we go there, we rotate to different farms and we meet different families.
That's really nice.
And it's just the interaction more than anything else with the local people that people enjoy most. So that's what we really try to focus on.
And I suppose working with the local communities, that's also a great source of like people who can tell you about how the land is changing and about some of the species that they've seen that have been lost over the years. Because you spoke earlier a little bit about some of the endemic species in Colombia and how some of those are disappearing. And I'm not really sure if you were referring specifically just to plant species or if you were also talking about some of the wildlife, and also because today we're here to talk about birds, so if you're talking about the avian life, if some of the avian species have been disappearing as well.
Well, yes, there's definitely a lot of species that have been lost, not just with birds, but with plants as well, as forests are cut down and space is made for potatoes and grass for cows. You're obviously losing a lot of the forest. Bogota's lost a few endemics, specifically endemic bird species that were only found in this region, and actually, more specifically, only found in the city.
Wow. So I guess with things like that, that's why conservation is really important.
Yeah, conservation, and specifically conservation through birding tourism, is a really good opportunity. Colombia has a lot of birding events that are held annually. In March, you have the Colombia Bird Fair in Cali, which is probably one of the bigger events. And as I mentioned before, I went to the Encuentro in Yopal in August. This month there's the Tolima Bird Fest. Next month there's an event in Manizales specifically focused on birding tourism. And again in November there's a National Ornithology Congress in Medellin, which is an event that's more geared towards scientific study and workshops.
So there's a lot going on in Colombia. But you don't only attend birding events and conferences locally, do you? Because I know that this week you're heading off to the US. You've got some big convention going on up there, haven't you?
Yes, so this week I'll be participating in the American Birding Expo, which is being held in Columbus, Ohio. And this year is actually their second event. Last year was the first. And they had over 2,500 people attending, which included exhibitors from over 41 different countries that were there to expose their countries and sell their birding tours.
Wow, 2,500 people, that's a lot. That's a lot of people who are coming to, you know, like hear about and learn about and get more information about birds. And so you'll be selling Colombia there as a birding destination as well.
Yeah, so I'll be one of the few companies that will be selling Colombia and bird watching here in Colombia. Last year, they also raised over $8,000 for conservation causes, so that's a big part of the event. So I think these birding events have a lot of potential for conservation and the preservation of species. This is the second one in the United States, but the biggest one in the world is probably the British Bird Fair that's been going on for decades in England.
And that sounds like it would be another fantastic opportunity to make contacts and spread the word about birdwatching in Colombia to people coming to the bird fair in England. It just all sounds really great and really interesting. I can see that there's a lot happening. There's a lot of interesting things to see in Colombia. And also so many people getting interested in bird watching. We're going to have to wrap things up now. But just quickly before we finish off, Chantal, it would be great if you could give us some advice for anyone who's thinking of taking up bird watching. So for the newbies out there who are, you know, who haven't really been bird watching and are not really sure if this is for me, but you're thinking that you might like to try something new, what advice can you give us? And so what would sort of be the first step for someone to take?
Well, the first thing I would say is probably not to knock it until you try it. As I said before, I used to mock bird watches and I never thought it was something I would get into. But I think there's a lot of stigma and stereotypes attached to bird watches. And once you start to get into it, it's really quite an exciting hobby. It's something that you can learn and continue to develop throughout your life, because I don't think you ever really reach the know-it-all stage. Even people that locals might look up to locally don't really know anything about birds in other regions. So there's always that opportunity for them to travel and learn about birds in other places.
So tell us, what is the big appeal about birdwatching? What is it that makes it so exciting? And like, where does that thrill come from?
For me, it's always the thrill of finding something new. I'm a photographer, so it's always me asking myself if I can get a better picture of that bird than I did before. And for newbies, I think that one of the most important things, the biggest recommendation from me, would be to join local birdwatching clubs or societies. Because as somebody who didn't know much about birds when I got started, the best way to learn from other people that is to attend these events that the clubs and societies have, usually weekly or monthly events that you can go to with people that know a lot about the birds in your region. And that's one of the best ways to learn. Also, to get a good book, a good guidebook for birding. Here in Colombia, it's typically been difficult to find a good field guide, but in a lot of other places around the world, it may be a lot easier just to go to the bookstore and pick up something that can help you to identify the different species.
And so what would be the basic things that you would need? Like, would I need to go out and buy a big pair of binoculars, for example?
I don't think that you need a big pair of binoculars, but I have to admit that in the beginning, I thought I could just use my 300mm camera lens to take pictures, and that would be good enough. And when I started using binoculars, I was actually quite impressed at how much easier it was to identify birds and to see them than it was with my camera. So for me, now as a photographer, I know that if a bird is really far away, I'm not going to see them anyway with the camera, so I might as well use the binoculars rather than the camera lens. And I'm not going to tell you to buy the most expensive binoculars, but I definitely will tell you that binoculars are an important tool for bird watching.
Well, that's a great help. I'm sure you've inspired quite a lot of people who are listening there to try something new. So maybe, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have been thinking that they're not really sure if this is something that they would want to do. But maybe now they'll go out and, like, you know, maybe you've just planted a few seeds. And so for anyone who's thinking of traveling to Colombia, you might want to add bird watching to the list of things that you could do out here. So thank you so much, Chantel. It's been great having you here on the show. This is Laura Brown filling in for Richard McCall for episode 155 of Colombia Calling. It's been really interesting to hear all about birds and bird watching, and also to, like, get a little bit of more background information to tourism in Colombia. And we hope you, our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed it too. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to us here on Colombia Calling. And you can also check out Andy's Eco Tours and see if there's anything on there that you fancy doing when you come to Colombia. Or if you're already here, if you're living here, maybe you've been looking for some ideas to get out for a day trip or a weekend. So maybe you'll find something there. Thanks so much for listening. We'll speak to you again next week. So stay tuned.